Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fishin', the podcast where we discuss Commander's most competitive tribe and help the whole community become better merfolk players. I'm Cody. I'm one of the hosts of the show and not Cody Smith on Twitter. This week, not only is Matt, Jason Momoa's understudy, still not available, that's Matthew Cotto 8 on Twitter, the other co-host, Dorian, he's in the middle of moving, so he's a little bit busy, and you can find him on Twitter as Crinkle Biscuit. This week, I am joined by a guest who we've had on the show to play some on stream. We've had him on to play Commander with us, as well as I've played Commander on his channel. So you know we've interacted in the YouTube and Twitch space, but we haven't quite interacted in the podcast space. So I would like to welcome our guest Austin from Commander 99. How's it going, Austin?
It's going great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's we've both are big Commander people, and we've pinged each other, like I said, for some games, and it's always been a joy to play with you, and so it's really great to have you on.
Yeah, this should be fun to talk about some Commander and Merfolk. I mean, we are primarily a Commander channel, and we kind of talk about, you know, Commander as well as play on Modo and in paper, so it's fun to be able to kind of narrow in on a particular tribe and narrow on a particular subset. I am a big fan of tribal commanders, so this is going to be a great opportunity to be able to discuss that with you.
And before we get to discussing those things, where can people find your content on the internet?
So youtube.com/commander99, that's CMDR and then 99 spelled out. We're also on twitch.tv under the same handle, as well as we've got a Twitter account at CommanderXCIX, which is Commander99 in Roman numerals. You know, a little fun handle thing there.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to have fun with it when you can. And remember that you can support this show by going to patreon.com/fishcastmtg, where for the low cost of $2 a month, you are helping us tremendously, and you are getting the show a few days early and ad free. So we like to, you know, I'm getting caught back up on episodes, so I will be ahead of time. By the time this goes out, we'll be ahead again. So thank you so much to all of our Patreon subscribers, as well as following us on twitch.tv/fishcastmtg, as well as buying playmats and shirts and all that from Inked Gaming. I don't know why I just based on that name, Inked Gaming. Just follow the link in the description. All of Austin's links as well, Commander 99's links, will be in the description as well. But make sure to check out our playmats and stuff. They're super cool, as well as our tokens from Cardamajigs, because those are cool to have for Commander. So we're going to go first off into the Random Merfolk, which is a segment that we always do, just kind of picking a Merfolk from Merfolk's history. We pick a Merfolk from Magic's history, and we talk about it. So this week, you picked number 99, which is very on brand.
Yep.
And I sent you the card in Skype. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, so this is Herald of Secret Streams. It comes from Ixalan. It's 3 and a colorless for a 2/3 Merfolk Wizard, or sorry, Merfolk Warrior, with creatures you control get creatures you control with +1/+1 counters on them can't be blocked. For me, this seems on brand with kind of the bulk of what we're talking about. Merfolk synergize really well with +1/+1 counters, right?
Yeah, especially in the blue-green. When we're talking about the +1, you know, the recent Ixalan Merfolk, where this Merfolk came from, that is definitely a huge thing, is putting counters on things and going wide and kind of just, you know, going over your opponent's or through your opponent's creatures, thanks to creatures like Herald of Secret Streams.
Yeah, I like this card a lot in a lot of +1/+1 counter strategies. It doesn't have to necessarily pertain directly to Merfolk, but you know, it's always good to have that nice addition. They're not being able to block your creatures for a single creature being able to protect from that. It's nice.
Like you said, it it just says creatures you control with plus one counters on them can't be blocked. So this does not necessarily mean that you have that it's limited strictly to merfolk, like you said. I know that the new, from the Commander precons, the Snakes deck with Cassetto, this seems like that would be a kind of card that I would slide in there almost immediately, because that's big on going wide with a lot of you know, smaller dudes and then putting counters on things. And it actually seems like it would work really well in the deck that we're going to be talking about today as well, which I was really excited that this card was relevant to our discussion.
Right. Yeah, this one, so I guess I'll just get into it, you know, talk about what the commander is. And
yeah, I mean, so Herald of Secret Streams, it's great in Commander. I think it saw maybe some standard play when it was in Standard, but I think it's just too high costed for anything but Commander.
Yeah, four is reasonable in Commander. That's a nice, like, on curve, you can easily kind of get around your opponent's board when you just put that on the table and you've got a bunch of creatures with plus one counters. Like, you know, for four mana, you've just been able to get a direct attack in. It's nice.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a great card. So when I reached out to you to see if you wanted to come on the show, you said that you had a commander that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, I thought the appropriate choice for this discussion was the Kumena, Tyrant of Araska. For us in our content, the very first gameplay video that we released of our Multiverses series, so that's Season 1, Episode 1, I played Kumena, Tyrant of Araska on that, in that gameplay video. And so, just to start things off, I'll tell you what Kumena does and kind of how I've, you know, strategized with this deck. So, Kumena, Tyrant of Araska is for a colorless, a green, and a blue for a legendary creature, Merfolk Shaman. It's a 2/4 that has three abilities. Tap another untapped Merfolk you control. Kumena, Tyrant of Araska can't be blocked this turn. Tap three untapped Merfolk you control, draw a card, and tap five untapped Merfolk you control. Put a plus one counter on each Merfolk you control. For my sake, I really enjoy tribal decks and tribal commanders, and so seeing something as flavorful as the Kumena and being able to interact with merfolk so well, I definitely wanted to build around this. I think the abilities that I really focused in on were the card draw and the plus one counters on your merfolk, finding ways to untap them again and again and repeatedly draw cards. The deck, I think, in my particular build to start with, I kind of really had a combination of the two, merfolk and creatures that untap merfolk. It's an interesting strategy to be able to increase the power of your merfolk with each untap, as well as kind of get some added value from your creatures. I'm always looking to build decks around value. I think that being able to draw extra cards or produce extra permanents or anything of the sort, I think the Simic colors already do a great job of doing that. And so being able to play that with a tribal theme is just even better.
Oh, for sure. You know, one thing that you kind of said that it triggered a memory for me, it's kind of like, because of just the colors that it's in, as well as the list of abilities, it reminds me a lot of Deathrite Shaman. So I kind of always think as Kumena is almost a planeswalker just because of how many things it can do. So Deathrite Shaman, for those of you who don't know, is not necessarily a card that's played in Commander too much, but it did see a lot of Standard, Modern, and Legacy play when it was legal. Because I think Deathrite Shaman is illegal in most formats or restricted, right?
Yeah, I believe so. In the experience of Commander, like, I've played it in very particular themes, anything that I'm running a high land count in, so I can discard or exile my own cards from my graveyard.
Yeah, so Deathrite Shaman is a Golgari, or hybrid Golgari, for an elf shaman that's a 1/2, And it says, tap, exile target land card from a graveyard. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. Black, tap, exile target instant or sorcery card from a graveyard. Each opponent loses 2 life. Or you could pay green and tap and exile target creature from a graveyard and you gain 2 life. So there's just lots of, it's a very utility card and does, you know, a lot of things in those colors that, that those colors care about. And it's just such a beneficial card in those colors. If you're playing like maybe a Gitrog deck or something like that, where you just have a lot, you're playing around in people's yards a lot. So Kumena has kind of a lot of ways you can go with it. I mean, as long as you have a majority of Merfolk in your deck, it seems like a great commander.
Yeah, I think for this particular conversation, I kind of wanted to look at a way to not necessarily. I had experience with Kumena and played it outside of our gameplay series, but it's one of those things where you put together a deck and you kind of let it, you know, sit aside and kind of grow from there. And so since the release of Rivals of Ixalan, we've had a lot more cards that would benefit from Kumena in a Kumena build and be able to get that extra, you know, take it to the next level. I mean, one of the things that as our content has evolved, we've kind of evolved as players. We've kind of gone from the, you know, just kind of playing whatever to, you know, kind of finding our own voice in the community. And so we've been focusing in on the more casual and social environment aspects of the game. I mean, one of the things that makes Commander unique is being able to communicate with your opponents, kind of talking about cards that you're playing as well as strategies. And so when I first built this deck originally back in, our first video was released February 18th of 2018. So that's 2 years ago that we released our first gameplay video. I was playing a few cards in particular that you wouldn't necessarily see in a deck I would put together today. There are cards that are really good and they synergize with Merfolk very well. I mean, even one in particular that comes to mind, it's not legal in Commander anymore, is the Paradox Engine. I initially put that in my Kumena list.
I've had to remove it from, cause I was running that in my Tuvasa list, which right. Also cares a lot about Merfolk and tapping and untapping Merfolk, and I was very sad to see Paradox Engine go, but I can kind of see why. It's, you know, there's people bending it over and breaking it worse than Merfolk people were.
Right. For my list, I really focused in on the whenever you cast a spell, untap, draw a card, or whenever you cast a spell, untap, put put counters on all your Merfolk.
Right. That seems fair. just keep drawing cards. It's all good. That's never unfair.
Right. From there, also mentioning cards that kind of we kind of focus in on cards that don't necessarily win the game on their own. So a card that can kind of run away with the game out of nowhere, where 1 minute the board state or the cards in hand don't necessarily affect what's going on as much anymore, because, you know, one of the players top deck something and now the game is completely over and you just stop playing Magic, and it's easy to just be able to shuffle up and draw a new hand. And we kind of want to continue, like, it's kind of that traditional, like, this is where things are going. So for us, I also wanted to mention a card like Beastmaster's Ascension as a very powerful card that I'm not necessarily playing as much anymore, because Beastmaster's Ascension, it's 2 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control attacks, you may put a quest counter on it. As long as there are 7 or more counters on it, creatures you control are going to get +5/+5. So this is a very go wide strategy. So being able to get 7 attacking creatures is very easy with this commander and with this deck. And so I found myself being able to, on turn, you know, 6 or 7 with enough creatures on board, casting a Beastmaster's Ascension like a sorcery spell instead of an enchantment, and turning sideways and eliminating the board, basically.
Yeah, and one thing about Beastmaster's Ascension specifically is that's a card that's been printed in basically every single Commander precon, I think, or at least very often. So that's a card that not only swings the game radically quickly, but it's also just incredibly available for most players. Yeah. So it's definitely something that I could see as a beginner Commander deck builder saying, oh, of course this goes in the deck, when maybe you can move away from that and play something that's a little more fun.
Right, and if you're looking for cards, I think the ones that I'm going to be mentioning early on are ones that if you're looking to have a higher ceiling in terms of power level, you know, that's an easy inclusion for a deck like this. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, you can go a bit harder with some of the builds. I mean, merfolk are not to be trifled with. When you see them hit the board and you see them start building up a board state, I think this goes for most creature based decks. You know, you're going to need a board wipe. You're going to need some kind of interaction to deal with what your opponents have going on. Otherwise, they're just going to, you know, overrun you with the amount of power that you see.
Yeah, of course. It's like you said, that is kind of the bane and the boon of merfolk is its power is derived from, you know, having a bunch of meat on the board. And unfortunately, as you well know, if somebody starts building up and, you know, has, you know, even six or eight creatures, you should really take a look at that guy and go, hey, why are you know, what are you getting ready for over there? And you know, get readying your board wipes, I suppose. So it can be cool to go wide and just run people over, like you said, but that can also be a downside for merfolk, unfortunately.
Right. I see that a lot of times where strategies lending towards board presence as opposed to strategies that are lending towards hand or Spellslinger or any of those strategies that kind of don't commit as much to the board and just wait for engine pieces to develop outside of your deck, or maybe a tutor or something that you're able to grab and then, you know, just kind of explode away. People are more worried about the immediate threat, which are the creatures on board at that moment. And so that's something to look out for when you're building Kumena. I've included various protection spells, so your basic counter spells, your basic protection package that can hopefully, you know, prevent some of that removal of your creatures. I mean, that's what you want, to keep your board presence, and you can also kind of communicate with other players as you're playing. That's one of the great aspects of Commander, is that you can kind of talk to each other and be like, okay, well, I would like to, you know, be able to get in some more damage, maybe some of the other players, so I'm not going to attack you right now. And then you tap out your mana and your opponent doesn't use a board wipe, and then the next turn you make sure to leave up a couple extra blue mana or a couple extra green mana, so that after you focus the other players, you can come back around and now be able to interact with what they might have up their sleeves.
Yeah, you politicking is very important for the merfolk player, I'd say.
Right.
Kind of like you said, making those deals like, hey, you know, if you hold off on a board wipe right now, I can help kind of take care of these guys, and, you know, we'll work something out later. You know, or you'll be granted one favor by yeah, leaving my things. And actually, speaking of that, in my Tuvasa list, when GP Oklahoma City came around and I did some mystery drafts, I opened a Teferi's Protection, which is two and a white for an instant that phases everything out. And just for that purpose, like you said, it's either have a counterspell ready or have, you know, some form of like a maybe heroic intervention in hand, you know, to protect your wide board.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about when you're building a creature based deck. I mean, you need five merfolk to give your creatures +1/+1 counters, you know, so that's, you need a board in order to be able to utilize this commander.
It's, for sure.
it's good. It's fun. I think one of the other things I kind of wanted to focus on when mentioning this, I kind of mentioned it earlier in the podcast that the deck, I could use some upgrades, you know, and or downgrades in some cases, because some cards are just really good, and we've kind of changed our strategies out a little bit. And so there have been a release of upwards of 10 different sets since 2018. And so I put together a list of cards that I thought would work really well with Merfolk. A few of them are lands, because, you know, lands can always use upgrades, but it's nice to have some of these in here, and it's, I'll kind of go through them right now and talk about which ones I think I enjoyed for this particular build of the deck. You know, it's always nice to see stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm especially excited for the lands portion, because lands, you know, real estate can be one of the most contentious parts of Commander deck building. Even just from ratios of how many lands you should have versus, like, do I run a lot of fetches? Do I run a lot of basics? You know, what is your strategy there? So I'm excited to hear about your land picks, really.
Great. In my initial build, I actually only had 32 lands in the deck. Going on my current experience, I think that's a little sparse. I'd probably go up to 35 at this point and include more ways of ramping, as opposed to just focusing in on that. I mean, I know that Merfolk do have quite a bit of low of a curve, but, I mean, I think that's a good place to start here. Talking about the lands, I brought a few in particular, starting with the Waterlogged Grove. That's the Simic land that came from Modern Horizons to pay a life to add a green or a blue, or pay one mana and sacrifice it to draw a card. So sometimes in a deck you can find yourself either mana flooded or not having enough mana. And I think if you're in the situation where you're just drawing too many lands and you're hitting all your land drops and maybe your curve isn't working properly, you can use Waterlogged Grove to sacrifice it and draw that extra card, you know, hit another Merfolk, keep the deck going, keep looking for other answers. Maybe you need to draw one of your protection spells. And also it helps kind of thin the deck out a little bit. There's a few other lands in here that do a similar thing. The Prismatic Vista from the same set, you know, it's kind of a new addition in the fetch lands. I try to include lands that are very flavorful and on theme. So you've got the Misty Rainforest. That's your go grab an island or a forest. This grabs a basic land, and so it kind of fits in that color combination. You know, we're not playing anything outside of that. And it's from Modern Horizons, as well as we got a few lands from the set Throne of Eldraine. And so each one of those kind of lended to that two color strategy. You've got Fabled Passage. It's another fetch land type effect. If you control four or more lands, the land is going to come into play untapped. You search for a basic, put it onto the battlefield. If it's some of the early turns and you can kind of, you know, take a step back and slow things down, maybe your draws aren't as fast as you might want them to be because, you know, the deck isn't drawing as many Merfolk, you can go take a turn off, grab a basic land, as well as two of the castles I included in here. So the two castles, they kind of each individually work with islands and forests. Castle Vantress can enter the battlefield untapped if you control an island. It taps for blue, pays four mana, scry two. And by being able to scry two, you know, there might be a turn where you're looking for some extra value. Castle Garenbrig, for four mana, you can add six green mana, and you can use that to cast creature spells. And this deck is chock full of creature spells. So we've got a lot of nice new additions to the land base. You know, some nice choices. They're fun. They're good. And it's always Simic colors. I think we're at a point where we're starting to see more enemy colored combinations get some more added value in the land base. And these are some nice additions.
Oh yeah. There's one land that you haven't discussed that I I actually need to pick up a few copies of for commander purposes. And one, and this is a land that I think would go perfect in this type of build. It's Karn's Bastion. I mean, it taps for a colorless, which is not great, but you can pay 4 and tap and proliferate.
Right.
And so cards like that and Castle Vanch, the two castles, and there are definitely other cards in these colors. You know, having those mana sinks in Commander, just great to have. You know, being able to scry 2 before you go into your next turn is just, that's a fantastic ability.
Right, and it works really well with Commander's draw ability. You know, scry 2, draw something new, you know. Yeah, so that's kind of the land base in regards to some of the upgrades I would make or changes to the deck. From there, I think, you know, why don't we talk about the two merfolk in particular I picked out of the bunch that I thought would be miles ahead, and then another creature that just I always try to go with my commander deck building. I mean, even though I go for power, I go for flavor just as much. So I try not to include too many effects or too many creatures that aren't merfolk in particular. But this one kind of sets the scale for the strategy of that value engine, and to be able to getting extra value off your creature casting because you're going to be playing such a large number. So Beast Whisper is what I'm talking about here. For 2 colorless and 2 green, you have an Elf Druid. Whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. So it's 4 mana, draw a card every time you cast a creature.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, tribal strategies, they play creatures. This deck wants creatures. It's going to allow you to refill your hand and not feel as bad when you get board wiped, because maybe you're just kind of replacing the cards in your hand. So by casting a new one, you're able to respond. And, you know, if you have enough merfolk out at that point, you just tap them all down, draw a couple more cards, and then you have a full 7, so you can try and start over, recast Kamana. You know, keep the chain going. It's definitely a nice synergy with that effect. Another card that synergizes really well with Kamena's ability and with Merfolk is the Zagana Utopian Speaker. This is that that legendary creature that came out of the one of the Ravnica sets. It's a 2 colorless, a green and a blue, for a Merfolk wizard that whenever Zagana enters the battlefield, if you control another creature with a +1/+1 counter on it, draw a card. It also has an adaptability, which isn't necessarily the focus of the reasoning I put it in this particular build, because Kumena does give +1/+1 counters to each creature you control. So once Zagana is on board, the adapt 4, it's only able to get +1/+1 counters if you don't have any other +1/+1 counters on it. So if you use Kumena's ability, you're not going to be able to turn this 4/4 into an 8/8 for 6 mana. But it does do one thing that's very interesting and very strong for this deck, is being able to give each of your creatures with +1/+1 counters trample. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when this card came out, that this new Zagana Utopian Speaker, when it came out, I kind of described it as a pseudo Craterhoof effect. You know, just with Kumena being as you know, prolific with +1/+1 counters as any merfolk in merfolk history, we just giving them trample can just be enough, because sometimes, you know, you can get in a stalemate where you and your opponent across from you just have giant creatures, and basically it's who's going to blink first, right? You know, and so being able to just kind of, you know, end a turn by, you know, using Kumena's ability to put a counter on everything, and then untap, and then drop Zagana, and just kind of run over your opponent. That's a pretty sweet effect, I think.
Yeah, I also like it because, you know, merfolk interact really well with Island Walk. They interact with blue, you know, one of the more powerful colors in Magic, and so you're able to kind of get past your opponent's blockers with giving merfolk Island Walk. But, you know, if you're sitting across the table from any of your other 4 colors in Commander, you might not be able to get through some of your opponent's blockers. And so having that trample is a nice added bonus to be able to, you know, if you don't draw your abilities that churn an opponent's land into an island, your Font of Mythos or any of those type effects, you need to be able to get in with some extra damage that way.
Oh, yeah, totally. And like you said, even though you might have like a Master of the Pearl Trident or something along those lines giving you Island Walk, you know, when it comes down to a stalemate, your opponent will start using their targeted removal on your Island Walk lords. And that can be real rough if you get in a point where you're just kind of stuck. And yeah, being able to give your creatures trample is just a good way to push through the extra damage that you need.
Right. I also apologize. I said Font of Mythos. I meant the Quicksilver Fountain, the one that turns a particular land into an island by giving it a flood counter is the card I'm speaking of.
That's actually what I thought you meant. I was looking it up as I was talking. Yeah. Because I was like, this reminds me of something. It slipped my head as well.
Right. The Quicksilver Fountain, as well as the Aquatex Will, you know, those type of effects that can, you know, make it to where you can have Island Walk, but not necessarily, having blockers. So another creature that adapted from the same set and that kind of cares about those +1/+1 counters is the Benthic Biomancer. So,
ooh.
Yeah, you're already seeing the synergies here.
Last week we actually discussed one drops in Merfolk. So I've got Ben on the brain right now. Ben is a great card in Modern. So, but yeah, in Commander, sure, yeah, draw an extra card, sure.
Right. Well, I find myself curving out really well with Kumena. So 1 mana Benthic Biomancer, 2 mana, you know, any one of your Merfolk Lords, and then play Kumena on turn 3, and then tap them all to draw a card. Oh, Benthic Biomancer trigger ability, put a +1/+1 counter on it later to draw a card, then discard a card. You know, these are just every time you're not only can you tap it to draw a card, but you could put 5 counters on it on your creatures, or put counters on all your creatures and draw a card and discard a card that way. Get rid of a land. I'm looking for action.
Or get rid of action. I'm looking for a land. You know?
Right. It, yeah.
and like you said, it's every time a counter gets put on it. So it's not dependent on its own adaptability. And so just being able to even like 2 activations on this is just helpful. You know, being able to just kind of dig past in your early turns either for lands that you need, or for, like you said, if you need to hit that Lord to really just knock that opponent out. Yeah, Ben really does the job.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the parts of the deck that I really focus on is trying to search for things, find the right combination of cards, you know, find the added value from playing your creatures. There are a bunch more effects in here that kind of do that came from those recent sets that I mentioned. I want to bring up Season of Growth as kind of like a bit of an overlooked option that some people, it works really well in those creature-based strategies, but, you know, you kind of usually see it in more of your targeted or your Voltron-type effects. You know, this card, for 2 mana, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you're going to scry 1 card to the top or the bottom. And it has that added ability of casting spells that target your creatures. You get to draw a card, but we're really focusing in on that scrying because tapping your merfolk to draw cards, you're looking for more key pieces. I think another great example of trying to get that added value is a card that came from Ravnica, the Guardian Project. You know, it's a commander staple in a lot of sense because it was a standard printed card that really focused in on effects that work well with your commander because you are playing in a singleton format. For 3 colorless and a green, you have this card that says whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, if it does not have the same name as another creature, which I mean, you're not likely to have cards with the same name very often in Commander. You get to draw an extra card, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And just getting that incremental value is super important. I don't know if this is on your list, but it's kind of similar along those lines dealing with when you are able to target your cards. A card that's actually played in Simic Merfolk in Modern is a Shaper's Sanctuary. So whenever an opponent targets a creature you control, you get to draw a card.
Yeah. Shaper's Sanctuary is one of those cards that in a new updated version, I would definitely want to include in here to be able to protect your Merfolk and let you draw some extra cards. You know, it's a single mana, which is great. You know, people are going to want to try and target your Kumena. They're going to want to target your best Lord, you know, and try and slow you down a little bit. So you want that extra value from playing your creatures. Another card that I wanted to mention that kind of works as your Merfolk grow and also works well with those +1/+1 counters from Throne of Eldraine is the Greathenge. So this is a legendary artifact for 7/2 green. This spell is going to cost less where the greatest power among creatures you control. And it can also act as a nice little mana rock, being able to tap for 2 green and I gain 2 life. The key ability that I'm focusing in on is that extra way to draw cards and put +1/+1 counters on your creatures. So it says whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card, give it a +1/+1 counter.
Neat. that seems like a really powerful setup. The Greathenge has seen a lot of standard play, at least on Arena. If my gameplay on Arena has anything to do with the truth, Greathenge is just such a great card.
Yeah, I think in standard, you know, it was one of those cards that didn't really see too much play in the early stages of its release because of that Oko Thief of Crowns, that card that churned any artifact or creature into an elk. It kind of took away from some of those very powerful artifact effects. I think that's why a card like Embercleave is able to do so well right now in standard. And why this card is seeing a lot of increased value is because of that, you know, ability of being able to stick on the board and not really be interacted with as much, and then you're able to continue to grow your team.
Yeah, for sure. So you talked about a few merfolk that you wanted to add and a few enchantments that were great. Are there any planeswalkers or anything like that that you like to run in this deck?
No, I focus very much on the creatures and the instance and sorcery interaction. I mean, I can't say I wouldn't recommend playing an Oko Thief of Crown because you are in those Simic colors. I think it's a great removal spell for that particular case. I know that there's also the ability to untap your creatures with, I'm blanking on the name right now, but it's a Kiora. I don't know which version of Kiora. Exactly. Let me look it up. It's the Kiora Behemoth Beckoner. So whenever a creature power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card, or for its -1 to untap target permanent. That card would work really well in this type of strategy, being able to untap one of your merfolk.
Of course. Yeah, sounds great.
I guess to round things out in terms of additions, I wanted to mention in regards to what you're doing after you've got all this abundance of value. You know, you probably already are playing that Reliquary Tower or that Thought Vessel because your hand size, if you're doing well, is just overflowing with cards, so you gotta be able to do something with this outside of just casting more merfolk and committing more to the board. You want to be able to interact with some of what your opponent's doing. So I included both Force of Vigor and Force of Negation in this list as a way to do something without having to commit any of your mana to this strategy. So Force of Vigor is a well, it's technically free, but it's two colorless, a green and a green. If it's not your turn, you can exile a green card from your hand rather than paying the spell's mana cost to destroy up to two artifacts or enchantments. This card in particular, I find very, very strong in that not only can it be used as a two for two by getting rid of two cards in your hand to getting rid of two of your best opponent's pieces on the board, you can also use them just as a cast for four mana. You know, it's a one for two in that it hits two things for its particular mana.
Yes. And I know that we talked about this on our show when it came out, that, you know, and it's the free part is better for modern and legacy play. That doesn't discount the fact that, you know, in Commander it's nice to have free things every once in a while. And even at four mana, that ability of destroying two artifacts or enchantments is pretty nuts if you think about it.
Right.
Because there can be just like a backbreaking enchantment, like if an opponent has just a Beastmaster Ascension, or you know, or maybe like an Ensnaring Bridge that's making it impossible for you to win. That's a good way to kind of handle those pesky artifacts.
Yeah, and I would say even Force of Negation does a similar thing because it counters a non-creature spell, so get rid of it before it hits the board. You know, you can kind of throw your opponents off guard when you have a full grip, or you tap some of your merfolk to draw that extra card you needed in order to be able to cast this, and you're tapped out currently, so you have this counterspell kind of acting as a nice reserve for the deck.
Oh yeah, and like, yeah, just like you said, there, I mean, with all these activated abilities in Kumena herself and or himself, is Kumena a male? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. You know, in Kumena, with the abilities for Kumena and all the lands we have, and even a lot of the merfolk in a deck like this, there's lots of ways to use your mana on your opponent's turn. So, you know, you could tap out on player, you know, your opponent A's turn, but then by the time you get to opponent C, and opponent C says, ha ha ha, everyone's tapped out, I can finally do this game-winning thing. And then you can be the savior and say, no, sir, I don't want that in my game of Magic.
Right. Because you're trying to win the next turn yourself, you know?
And usually that's it's all about that one turn. You know, there's, in a deck like Merfolk, it can be like, okay, I do this to stop you, and then untap and wham. You know, we've crater hoofed, we've dropped our Zagana, you know, something to just totally turn the tide of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's what this deck's all about. It's about being able to run away with it. You're kind of setting yourself up for those big plays, for those consistent value plays. I'm definitely, you know, after talking with you, after kind of bringing up some of these cards, it's definitely, you know, it's about time that I bring this deck to the channel again. I've got it mostly built in paper, you know, at a moment's notice. I've got my collection of cards that I can grab, so maybe we'll see this deck resurface on one of our gameplay series live streams, as well as you know, being able to bring it on Modo. I mean, we're trying out some different themes, so maybe I'll bring it up to the group and say, hey, let's do this, you know, let's play some tribal merfolk 1 week.
Yeah, I know that the Spike Feeders 1 week did a all merfolk gameplay, so they all picked different merfolk commanders, and I've thrown around the idea with Matt and Dorian about, and this isn't necessarily commander related, but I think it would just be kind of funny to see if we could make it work, is an all merfolk cube.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
I thought it would just be interesting to try, and I've never sat, you know, across from three other merfolk players before, so it would be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. You know, we read on our content, he likes to do commander cubes, so you could either do a cube based on, you know, just being able to build some constructed decks, or you can even build like, well, now it's time for all of us to fight over these blue merfolk and then build from there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the Merfolk Cube in a future episode, so I don't want to harp on it too much here. But yeah, it's definitely fun. There's, you know, Merfolk, even though most, you know, Merfolk decks kind of hinge on, you know, a very similar theme of having lots of creatures, there's definitely lots of ways to go about it, like with +1/+1 counters. You know, there's obviously like tap and untap mill effects that you can do with certain Merfolk. And yeah, it's kind of cool to see where people take their Merfolk deck. So thank you, Austin, for coming on and discussing your list.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad I was able to maybe some recent cards and strategies that people have seen with Merfolk or looking for some new additions like me, you know, upgrading those lists, bringing out some new cards. And it's great to be able to talk this with you.
Yeah, and to the listeners of this episode, what are some cards that you would add to your Kumeta deck? Or what are some cards that maybe you know of that maybe people that we didn't talk about, or maybe somebody else hasn't, you know, made very clear? We want to hear from you and see what your additions would be. So let us know on Twitter in the comments, or you know, you can shoot us a message. And it was great to have you. Where can people find you again?
Yeah, so you can find us on at Commander99 on YouTube as well as Twitch to check out some of our gameplay videos. Go! I think we mentioned in the beginning putting a link to the video that I reference in this conversation and the podcast, and you get to see the very first episode of our gameplay series. And, you know, go and take a look at our most recent episode of our gameplay series and kind of see where we've evolved from there. You know, it's definitely something to see as the years go on. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we all get better at what we, you know, I'm not, your videos always look great, and I'm not saying that you were ever bad, but it's always fun to look back at your previous work. I mean, I do that every once in a while and go, man, those first videos sounded like garbage. when you learn the tricks and upgrade your stuff and upgrade your, you know, your knowledge, it's cool to see where people take their content. So I'm definitely going to be linking all of those things that we've talked about in the show notes of this episode. So make sure to go check out Austin and the Commander 99 crew everywhere you find content, on Twitch, on YouTube, all that fun stuff. As for me, you can find me on Twitter as Not Cody Smith. You can find my co-host Matt as MatthewCaldo8 and Dorian as Crinkle Biscuits, Crinkle Biscuit with a K at the front, you know, the traditional spelling. you can find everything related to the show. If there's a social media outlet, we are there as @FishcastMTG. You can find us on Twitch as twitch.tv/FishcastMTG and Patreon at patreon.com/FishcastMTG. Austin, again, thank you so much. As always, it's always a joy to talk with you about Magic. So today was no different, and I was so excited to have this chat with you, because Kumeta is a really fun commander, and I think Commander is probably the most fun format out there.
Definitely.
Well, thank you again, Austin, for coming on the show, and for everybody out there, thank you so much, and we will see you all next week.
See ya.
I stumbled over.